the Russian science of vacuum domains. Dr. Alexei Dmitriev has conducted detailed investigations of naturally occurring vortex phenomena that have many of the qualities we've been discussing, including the gravity shielding capabilities. He believes tornadoes are one of a variety of examples of these types of vortexes in action, which he calls vacuum domains. Other examples include ball lightning, natural self-luminous objects, poltergeists, a curious phenomenon known as small comets or atmospheric holes, glowing forms associated with earthquakes and volcanoes, sprites and elves in the upper atmosphere, and kimberlite pipes in the Earth's crust, which I will explain. Dmitriev cites the ongoing increase of tornado and other related activities throughout the 20th century as evidence that the overall amount of these vortexes entering into our solar system, and thereby the Earth, has gone up dramatically. In Dmitriev's model, which is partly based on the physics work of Terletzky, these vortexes are directly transforming gravispin energy, gravitation and the spin force within it, into electromagnetic energy, which appears as photons emerging from these spherical areas. Obviously, if we could create such events on a reliable basis, we'd be able to permanently free ourselves from the need to pay for energy, or damage the environment to power our civilization. Gravity would supply us with more energy than we could ever possibly need. This may very well be happening already in natural materials such as the Swedish stone, discovered by T. Henry Moray, thanks to its quasicrystal properties. The properties of these vortexes include the ability to penetrate matter, the emission and absorption of light and other electromagnetic radiation, the disruption of electrical systems leading to breakdowns, strong magnetic fields, significant increases or decreases in the weight of objects, the rotation of air and dust inside them, explosions which often do not change their size or shape, a spherical outline, and a very substantial increase in the number of reported sightings during years of high solar activity. Dmitriev also claims that almost all earthquakes and volcanic eruptions feature these luminous forms at some point before, after, and/or during the events. Historical and contemporary poltergeist episodes also occurred during sudden increases in geomagnetic activity. This data implies that poltergeist events are not random, but can be clearly traced back to energetic vortexes rising out of the Earth. Sudden increases in Earth's magnetic field strength, possibly triggered by surges in solar activity, appear with the creation of vacuum domains, or portals into time-space, in the core, which then rise to the surface through certain areas. A 1992 article in the Society for Psychical Research Journal revealed Guy Lambert's discovery that poltergeist sightings clustered around the course of a river, and when it rained, there were many more reports. Anne Arnold Silk plotted large numbers of reported cases of sightings of ghostly figures, balls of light, and such like, and found that they all clustered very strongly around geological fault lines. Furthermore, sightings of anomalous lights occurred at the ends of these lines as well. The explosions occur when there is a collapse inside the object, and since Dmitriev believes these vortexes are being created by the sun and then flow into the Earth, he feels these collapses release captured solar energy. These explosions can occur in the atmosphere, the water, or the Earth's crust. Such explosions in the Earth may be the real cause of volcanic eruptions and earthquakes. And in our source field model, the lack of coherence on the surface of the Earth creates imbalances in the field, which create a low pressure zone. Our own state of consciousness on a collective level is directly responsible for creating this lack of coherence. Once we have a low pressure zone, it may draw a large vortex of energy out of the Earth's core, which then rises and eventually explodes inside the Earth as it collapses back down into space-time, causing an earthquake or volcanic eruption. In other cases, these vortexes rise all the way up into the atmosphere, creating hurricanes, tornadoes, severe weather systems, or poltergeists. Dmitriev has also gathered compelling evidence that tornadoes are much more likely to form over areas with geological faults, such as seismically active regions. Kimberlite pipes. Dmitriev also believes these explosions inside the Earth's crust are responsible for creating kimberlite pipes. These are elongated, tube-shaped formations that were named after where they were originally discovered, in Kimberley, South Africa. The fun starts when an explosion is seismically detected in the Earth, normally associated with volcanic activity. A narrow, dome-shaped ring then appears on the surface, barely detectable. But once you dig down to where the tube is found, it is filled with diamonds. Conventional geologists believe diamonds only form at depths below 150 kilometers in the Earth and can take many millions of years to crystallize. Their theory is that strong volcanic activity then lifts the diamonds to the surface after they are formed and deposits them in the kimberlite pipes within a mixture of magma and transported rock. The theory also states that the explosive force from deep within the Earth shoots dissolved gas, magma, rock, and diamonds through the mantle at a very rapid speed, which can reach several hundred kilometers per hour. And the rapid expansion of the gas cools the whole area so the diamonds are not disturbed. Typically, kimberlite pipes form in several clusters simultaneously and can be tens of kilometers apart from each other. This is the prevailing model, and it may well be correct. But Dmitriev believes these diamond-laced pipes are the result of the intrusion, movement, and explosion of a vacuum domain in the Earth's crust. Dmitriev points out the strange fact that the neighboring rocks do not seem to be affected by these self-localized explosions. Another interesting possibility that Dmitriev may not have considered is that the flow of time may be dramatically accelerated within these explosions, causing crystals that normally should form over millions of years to develop in very short periods of time, at least by our standards. Dmitriev also alleges to have found vigorous relations between the origin, existence, and disappearance of these vortexes and the energetic discontinuities in the lithosphere and ionosphere, namely the crust and the charged particles in our upper atmosphere. The consciousness connection. Interestingly, Dmitriev also suggests a direct connection between the appearance of these vortexes and the overall level of human consciousness in a given area. His classic 1997 paper, Planetophysical State of the Earth and Life, had a tremendous impact on me when I found it in December 2000. One of his central statements has become a major theme in this book. There are reasons favoring or pointing to the fact that a growth in the ethical or spiritual quality of humanity would decrease the number and intensity of complex catastrophes. I would absolutely agree, and the Russian pyramid studies certainly give valuable evidence that this may indeed be true. Dmitriev made his opinion very clear, but no one in the mainstream is listening. It has become vitally important that a world chart be prepared, setting forth the favorable and the catastrophic regions on Earth, taking into account the quality of the geologic, geophysical environment, the variety and intensity of cosmic influences, and the real level of spiritual ethical development of the people occupying those areas. In light of the 2012 prophecies we've inherited, other quotes from Dmitriev are even more interesting. "The multitude of such vortex phenomena, which is rich in its quality and variety, is already growing quickly. Hundreds of thousands of these natural, self-luminous formations are exerting an increasing influence upon Earth's geophysical fields and biosphere. We suggest that the presence of these formations is the mainstream precedent to the transformation of Earth, an Earth which becomes more and more subject to the transitional physical processes which exist within the borderland between the physical vacuum, i.e. time-space, and our material world." Time storms. Dmitriev's model has almost everything we've been looking for, except that I have not yet found a paper from him that associates these luminous spherical vortexes with any time-related anomalies. However, in her vast, encyclopedic, and wonderful book, Time Storms, veteran paranormal researcher Jenny Randles independently validates everything in Dmitriev's model. The main difference is that she is reporting what happens to people who enter into these vortexes and cites a truly staggering number of different documented cases where time slips, typically of up to 5 days, occur. I was thrilled to find this book because it was a prodigious research effort that tied together many cases, some of which had been written off as UFO abductions with missing time. There is far too much data in her book to cover it all here, but she has definitely broken new ground in identifying many common elements of time slip cases that other researchers had not noticed. These include glowing mist, spherical vortexes on the move, strong tingling sensations in the people near them, and in some cases, aching in the joints and/or painful skin rashes after exposure, as well as longer-term nausea, muscle pains, and significant loss of motor coordination, where people cannot even grab a door handle and open it properly. Some people also emerge from these experiences covered in water, even though there was no visible water in the area they left from. So yes, it probably rains in time-space just like it does here sometimes. Other characteristics include the powering down of running cars and their batteries, strange increases in heat, as in the case of the falling rocks, and a very curious series of changes in human consciousness Randles calls the Oz factor. Typically, this involves an eerie silence, as if the entire world has stopped. One witness said it felt as if her mind had been sucked out. Others report numbness, heaviness, a sense of being caught in slow motion, and very real time distortions. Time distortions. In one case from Kent, UK, in 1966, a witness named David reported a variety of these effects all at once. As he reached a bridge over a stream in a wooded area near his girlfriend's house, he saw a group of teenage boys running in terror from something that seemed to be chasing them. David then felt everything become very quiet, as if his ears had become closed off. There was numbness and a strange depression, accompanied with a sense of heaviness and moving his head in slow motion. His girlfriend felt giddy, and the voices of the teenagers now sounded like they were coming through an echo. A white mist then swirled around them, and time seemed to slow down. When David tried to move his body, it seemed to take forever, and his cigarette smoke spiraled upward far too slowly. Sounds traveled too slowly and seemed hollow. His girlfriend clung to him in hysterics, and the teenage motorcycle gang now appeared to be moving in slow motion. The heaviness eventually left, causing their ears to pop, like in an airplane that was landing. Even though the whole process seemed to take hours, his cigarette had not burned down any farther when it finally stopped. Obviously, it would seem that the ancients learned how to manage and control these experiences, so as not to have such unpleasant effects. However, if you can't create coherence within your own mind, body, and energetic duplicate, then you may have a bit of a rough ride. Gravity shielding levitation effects. In Chapter 7, Randles then goes on to report that many of these cases also feature gravity shielding effects, as we've already discussed in cases like Tibetan acoustic levitation, tornado anomalies, fish falls, alleged technological breakthroughs that have been suppressed, and Dmitriev's scientific model of vacuum domains. On pages 51 to 52, there is a case of hay levitating out of a field. It condenses into a lens shape, then hovers at 150 feet, where it begins moving across the sky slowly, easily mistakable as a flying saucer by this point. As it passed over the heads of the crowd, the witness reported feeling a soft pressure on his shoulders, and some of the children felt tingling sensations. Eventually, the cloud thinned out and separated into pieces that looked like a spiral galaxy. Much of the hay fell at this point and was dropped on a golf course, while the rest drifted away in a strange cloud. This occurred on June 15, 1988, in Marple Ridge, Peak District, UK, and a variety of strange events have been reported in this area, including a car that stopped in 1968 and many local legends of strange glowing lights, including blue glows that caused tingling sensations. In a 1971 event in Cuer, France, a man's car was levitated 15 feet off the road inside an orange glow after the engine failed and the radio filled with static. Once he realized he was levitating and became astonished, the glow disappeared and his car smashed to the road, causing heavy damage. He also found that he somehow had jumped 3 hours forward in time. This may have been caused by the car drifting east while it was levitating. The event happened at about 1:30 a.m., and it should have been no later than 3 a.m. when the tow truck brought him home, but it was actually 6 a.m. when he arrived. Beginning on page 70, Randles reports a case from the Isle of Mull, UK, in 1987, where a mist appeared out of nowhere and attached itself to a car. It caused a heavy feeling of downward pressure and a vibrating sensation, which made it feel like the car was moving sideways and upward. The fog was now too thick to see through, though it had a swirling movement within it. When the mist disappeared, they found their car trunk had popped open, even though it had been locked, and all of its contents were now scattered across the road. Randles says this is a frequently recurring theme in many cases. As I have said before in our tornado discussion, this could be caused by a temporary softening of the metal in the lock that opened the trunk, followed by gravity shielding effects that emptied out its contents. In another example, Peter Williamson experienced an event like this on July 28, 1974, in Somerset, UK. A heavy electrical storm moved through and caused their dog to cower under a tree. As Peter went to rescue the dog, there was a huge flash, and as far as everyone else was concerned, Peter had vanished. Police explained away the disappearance as simply a lightning flash. Peter was found 3 days later in a nearby locked garden at 8 a.m., and there was no way he could have gotten in as the gardener had the only key. He spent several days recovering in a hospital and began having dreams where he remembered standing in an unfamiliar garden covered in water. In his dreams, he wandered around in a daze and was eventually found and taken to a hospital. He could remember the names of a doctor, a sister, and various nurses, as well as the name of the ward, though he did not know any of these details in his waking life. He began suspecting the dreams might be real because they were long and mundane. He noticed that the hospital would sometimes shimmer around him in these memories, and furniture appeared where it hadn't been before, only to have the ward then snap back to its usual state. All of this fits with the idea that this took place in time-space, not space-time. He also noticed that when he tried to speak, his voice sounded like it was in slow motion. As he improved, he was allowed to walk the grounds, and he began to feel normal again as he walked down a lane outside. This was the last of his memories before waking up in the garden. A researcher named Colin Parsons stayed with the family for 3 days and was able to confirm that a nearby cottage infirmary had a ward with that name, as well as the doctor and the sister with the same names. However, the doctor did not recognize Peter, and there were no records of him having stayed there.